Hello, everybody, and welcome to me, Verzo, on Felix Doe Radio. And today I've got a couple of very special guests. You might know them from the bill as DS Debbie McAllister and DS Alistair Gregg, but we're not going to go there just yet. We're going to talk to them about their new project they're doing. It's a podcast called Letter from Helvetica. So welcome, Natalie, and welcome, Andrew.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Thank you very much for having us.
Did you like that intro? Did you like that intro? That was good, wasn't it?
It was lovely.
Excellent. So, I'm going to tell the truth. I don't know a great deal about your podcast. I did start to listen to it, but then I thought, you know what?
Fell asleep.
No, I did not. Not at all. I thought, you know what? I'm off on my holiday soon, so I'm going to save them all up, and I'll be playing them when I'm on the aeroplane because
That's perfect.
Yeah,
perfect
it is. That's what I thought. And it just reminded, you know, when I first listened, it just took me back to when I was a child and Wagoner's Walk and the Archers on the radio.
You're showing your age.
I am indeed. So anyway, it's not about me. It's about you two. So tell us what's going on. Tell us all about it, really.
Shall I start, Matt?
You can start the long winter tale of how we came about this project.
So Letter from Helvetica, the podcast, comes from a book that I wrote over the course of about 4 years, from 2010 to 2014. I'd had this idea, like thousands and thousands and thousands of other people, to give writing a novel a go. So I did. And I was very fortunate. My sister is an editor. She's a writer in her own right, but she's also an editor, and she edited the book. And at the end, she said, not really sure what this is. It's not really a novel as such because of the kind of format that it's in. And it's what is called an epistolary novel. That means it's epistles, or in other words, letters between two people. And it was quite long for a first novel. So I kind of shelved it and forgot about it, really, and always thought very, very back of the mind, I should do something with this one day. And years passed, and I got involved with the Bill podcast and Oliver Crocker, and I agreed to do one of the live Bill get-togethers, which is a Misty Moon production. And funnily enough, this woman called Natalie Rolls was there, and we had worked together before, and we remembered that, which was lovely. And then it was when Oliver was standing, he was comparing this event, and when he stood up and said that the Bill podcast had at that time 300,000 unique listeners. Excellent. 300,001. I had a light bulb moment and thought, this could be a podcast. It's just, you know, two people writing to each other. Yes, there are other characters as well, but what a good idea. And we could get Oliver on board. This is my thought process, get Oliver on board, and we could, you know, target it at this incredibly loyal, wonderful, nostalgia Bill fan base. And so I asked Oliver tentatively, and he was all over it. And then I asked Natalie tentatively, and she was all over it. And then here we are.
Excellent. Now, you touched briefly on the fact that you've worked together before. Now, that was on the bill, wasn't it? But Natalie wasn't Debbie, was she?
Wasn't Debbie. I was Sarah Everett in one of them. I can't remember the other character. But I do know.
A great name.
Mandy Cartwright.
Mandy Cartwright.
Yeah. Mandy, innit? That's it. Mandy. And you and I were just howling because we had one of the evenings where those two episodes were played to both of us many years later. So it was really funny to see that actually there we were. How many? 20 years? 25 years on?
We did a commentary video of it, and it was hilarious. But I remember one of the episodes. No, I remember both the episodes. I remember one better than the other. I when we met again, Natalie, in the so-called green room of the Cinema Museum. I remembered you really clearly. I even remembered what your dad did as a career and where you grew up. Isn't that weird? Are those snippets of information one remembers over all those years?
It's true, because I remembered you had the Hertfordshire connection as well.
That's right. Yeah.
So we were all like, oh, this is exciting. This is great to see you. And then I got the call from Oliver saying, are you interested? And I was like, oh, this sounds perfect, because this is a job that you can work from home. The commute was brilliant. It was, for me, just right into my wardrobe.
You still complain about it a lot, to be fair.
I do. my season ticket's running out.
But you haven't you got one of those OAP ones, Nina?
I'm just an observer here. I'm not getting involved in anything like this.
One of the wonderful things about the relationship with Nasty and Oliver is that we can take the mickey out of each other relentlessly.
And that's the mark of true friendship. Now, I've got a group of friends and we, you know, say we're in the pub together and I've had a cousin come down from Scotland and he says, do you want me to fill that bloke in? I said, what are you on about? He says, he's been giving you hassle all night. I said, he's one of my best mates. Leave him.
Yeah. I take German classes. I do evening classes in German, and the teacher, who's very, very fluent in English, sometimes finds the way that the British will insult each other as a term of endearment.
Yeah,
she just can't get her head around that. I won't use any of the phrases that are common.
No, I get that. Say. And we're the same in my group of friends. If one of us hasn't insulted another one, we think they're poorly.
Yeah. Or they don't like you anymore.
Yeah. Now, I'm just going to, because I do like to go off on a tangent, just something popped into my head. Now, my younger brother and younger sister are both massive The Bill fans, same as me. And I did invite them along to observe this today, but with work whatsoever, they couldn't. Now, I said to my brother, I had some email contact. I said, Debbie McAllister has given me an electronic kiss. Do you know what he said? Uh-huh. She was nasty in The Bill. I said, it's not real life, brother. I said,
Well, you know.
You learn to love me by the end of it.
Life reflecting art, reflecting life and all that.
Oi, she's complex, but hey, she's now not Debbie anymore. She is Abigail Wesley.
Yes, so tell us about Abigail Wesley then, Natalie.
Well, I'm sent off for this wonderful year-long project with the family, the Wesley family, and we've set out to the South Pacific Islands. And this is where all the communication is coming from to my dear uncle. So it's a big effort to get the family abroad. And I'm reciting the tales of my life in Babango. So it's that's the premise of where we are. And I've been sent on research to, for one thing, investigate Carver route. So there's a whole, it's just so interesting finding out about all these things that happen on these islands. So it's fantastic chatting back to Mr. Stotter, my uncle, and relaying what's happening each day, because it's not quite as normal as life back in the UK in Cornwall, or is it, Mr. McIntosh?
Well, that's the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
The notion, Jamie, is that you've got, so John is in a made up village in Cornwall called Helvetica, hence letter from Helvetica.
Yeah.
And Abby is in this made up island, Babango, which is in the island nation of Vanuatu in the South Pacific. And the idea is that it kind of looks at village life and the eccentricities of village life on opposite sides of the world. And in a humorous way, in a lightly humorous and affectionate way, but also looks at how what people might regard as civilized might actually be turned on its head, which is the more civilized place.
That's a great, yeah, you don't know if it's the UK or the South Pacific. Yeah,
fantastic. Exactly.
Now, I've just been working out in my head as you're doing that. I think, because there's 8 episodes, isn't there, of the first series?
That's
and I do believe that a second one has been greenlit. Is that right?
Yes.
A second series has been greenlit. Yes, indeed. In fact, Natalie, I was listening to your dulcet tones earlier on today.
Oh, were you?
In preparation, yeah.
Yes, I listened to the Natalie's first podcast with Beth Cordingley.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it just sounded like two old mates having a natter.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Not very far from me. It's like, you know, life is such a pace all the time. So to actually have that time with Beth, just her completely, you know, it was like this. We were just like, really very, very enjoyable time speaking with Beth, the gorgeous Beth accordingly. So, but it's the same when Andrew, Oliver and I get together. It's like, you know, we go in work mode and then we're chatty chatty and it's like being back in the green room. It's, yeah, marvellous fun.
It's lovely.
And actually having a second series to, you know, focus on now as well. I think we're halfway through that and we've got a little bit of a way to go. And then we're hoping, if everyone likes it, we can go for a third series and maybe a fourth series.
Yeah.
Excellent. So yeah. Would that all be all new material, Andrew, or is it still part of what you've previously written?
There's enough material already written for at least four series, if not five.
Oh, excellent.
And if it is successful enough, then I have to knuckle down and write more. But that would be kind of fun. I'd always thought of doing a return to Helvetica or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be a nice task to do if the moment arises.
And also it's written into, it's as though it's 2010. So this is pre-climate change emergency. All the things that we're all looking at now, it's pre that. So there's lots to write about.
Pre-COVID, of course.
Yeah, I heard that when I heard the introduction about 7 introduction and didn't you realise, you think 2010, it was only 13 years ago. It seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does. So much has changed.
Yeah.
So and of course, go on, Jamie.
I was going to say, so you both, you play multiple characters. Is it just you two? You two, isn't it?
Yeah, I play John Stotter, who's the sort of main Cornwall character, and all of the other people he encounters in the village of Helvetica. And Natalie?
I am.
Plays
many people. Martin comes to mind. there's Stephen, there's Martin, there's many people, but you have to tune in to find out.
Well, as I say, when I get on that aeroplane, I've got about a 4-hour flight to Greece, so I'll be able to get it all in. And I do believe that the last episode comes out on the Sunday before I fly out.
Excellent. You'll be able to binge.
Yes, back to back. Hopefully the wife will be asleep and I'll just be able to listen to that.
Well, she will be if she listens to it. Actually, do you know what? Somebody said that it's the ultimate comfort listen. And I have to say, that's such a nice thing to say, because you do kind of drift away with it to an extent. I mean, it hopefully makes you laugh, but you do kind of drift away. And I have to say, Natalie Rolls has got one of those voices that's incredibly calming when you listen to it. Natalie has one of the best voiceover voices I know.
Oh.
Don't tell her, though. Don't tell her.
Funny you say that, because I was just thinking both of you could audiobooks. I'd listen to books.
I have done that personally. Have you done any, Nat?
I haven't, no.
No, you'd be brilliant at it.
Oh, yeah, I need to get out there. I really enjoy this form of work. It's interesting when you play back. My son is funny, because he'll suddenly just put on Letter from Helvetica and blast it out through the Sonos system. And I'm like, no, really? stop. Because it's funny after hearing it, you know, over and over when we're recording. And then just to hear it just off like that. It's just, it's funny. No, I really enjoy this medium. And it's like one of those, you know, tick.
I do my show on a Tuesday on the radio live, apart from this bit, it's going to be pre-recorded, but I also do a Sunday show, 2-hour Sunday show, which is just various different musical specials, and I pre-record that in my house. Now, the other Sunday I put it on, and my wife was also in, because she works retail, so she doesn't have many Sundays off. She says, oh no, please, she says, I don't want two of you in the house. I thought, that's very supportive, love.
Yeah, lovely.
Right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I pre-asked you, didn't I, about some songs. So give us your first choices each, and I'll write these down, and then I can edit them into the show.
Oh,
so Natalie, what's your first choice, Natalie?
It was so difficult. I know it's only three, but my brain was just going through so many genres, and I'm such a mix of, you know, just the styles that I've known throughout my life. It's just really interesting, and I was thinking, okay, how did that come along? You know, I just went off on a right old journey. And I was thinking stylistics, because that was my dad. Wow. My dad showed me, you know, stylistics, ELO, that whole Paul McCartney Wings. You know, I grew up with all of that stuff. And then I was thinking, no, I need to choose something that I've seen, someone that I've seen in concert. And then I was thinking, Prince, let's go. I've seen Prince, Sign of the Times. I was just wowed by him. But then something stood out, and it was at the Jazz Cafe in Camden, Gil Scott Heron.
Ooh.
I know. And I was just like, okay, that's going to be my first one. So the bottle, Gil Scott Heron.
Cool.
That's my first one.
That's lovely. A very cool choice.
So Andrew, so are you going to give me all three then, Natalie? Give me all three and then we'll get Andrew's all three.
All three.
Yeah, go okay. On a roll.
So I'm going with the theme of people that I've seen.
Yeah.
Recently, I saw someone at the Brighton Dome and it's a young kid from Croydon and his name is Loyal Khanna. Nobody knows.
Loyal? How do you spell that? Sorry.
L-O-Y-L-E Khanna, C-A-R-N-E-R.
Okay. And the song?
And then my final...
Sorry, Natalie, what was the song you want from him?
Nobody Knows.
Nobody Knows. Excellent. And what genre is he? Is he a singer-songwriter, guitar, that sort of thing? Or
no, he's definitely your R&B sort of...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's a lyricist. He's speaky poetry.
Oh.
If you say that. But it's certainly an R&B genre. Yeah. And my final choice, I was going to go again. I've got to go with someone that I've seen live. And it's someone called Spiky T. And I've chosen these not only because I've seen them perform. Today is a really sunny day in Brighton. And I had my music on in the car. I just dropped someone off at the station. And I just thought, right, I'll just see if this is how I'm feeling today. Because music is so personal. It's how you feel. It's so vast. And today, Spiky T called Fire. So you need to find that in the vaults there, Jamie.
Yes, I'll get hold of them. I have my ways.
No, I'm sure you will find them. But they're my three, very different. So Gil Scott Heron, Loyal Khanna, Spiky T. Over to you, Andrew.
So I thought my thought processes were more along the lines of sort of milestones or significant musical moments. So the first one is because the first time I heard this, it was like I'd never heard anything like it before, is Queen. And I think it's true to say it was their first major hit single, which is Seven Seas of Rye.
Okay.
Their musicianship was always incredible. And Brian May is one of my absolute favorite guitarists. Being a guitarist myself, not strange. As good as Brian, but he's just a genius.
Yeah, but if that was you really on the bill, you're quite good on the saxophone, aren't you?
Well, with clarinet I played, although I can't play saxophone as well. But that leads us on neatly to choice number two, which is the aria by Cavaradossi called E Luce Van le Stelle. Sorry, I don't speak Italian, which is from Tosca.
Okay, I'll tell you what you have to do on that, Andrew. You're going to have to email me that.
I will. It's a very popular aria.
I'll find it, but rather than write down the spelling, if you email me, that'd be fantastic.
And that starts off with this lovely clarinet solo. And my career path, I worked quite a lot at the Everyman Theatre in Liverpool during the 80s, which is sort of a period when it was particularly fertile, doing really exciting stuff. And I actually played the introduction to that aria on my little clarinet, because it was one of those actor muso shows, so the actors were on stage playing their instruments at the same time, which was very much in vogue at the time. So that's the clarinet connection. And finally, just going back to brilliant guitarists, my final choice is a song called Montelioni by Mark Knopfler from his Get Lucky album. And it's about an American luthier, i.e. a guitar maker called John Montelioni, makes some of the best archtop guitars in the world. And it's a lovely song. And in fact, there was a movie made last year about John Montelioni called The Chisels Are Calling. And that is the first line of Mark Knopfler's song.
Excellent. I'll get in. I know definitely I've got Gil Scott Heron and I've got Queen, but the other two choices of you both I haven't got at the moment, but I'll soon get them.
Well, we'll email them over to you so you can... You
have excellent. To cool.
I was going to go on another... I saw... What was her? Anushka Sanka. That was going to be another one that I'd just seen at the...
Shankar,
yeah. As in, who was the dad? Because you said it the other...
Ravi Shankar.
Oh,
okay.
Guitar player.
That is another one that I might just throw in and change. You never know. I'll put it in an email to you. But I was so spoilt for choice. It's like, it's a really hard question. Choose three songs. Yeah. When there's so many...
It is. I sometimes on my show, if people want to come on and they say, we've got nothing to talk about. I just say to them, we'll pick the playlist and we'll discuss all your songs. So I'll get them to pick about 90 minutes worth of songs, about 20 songs, and then we'll just discuss why they've picked them. And they're some of the best shows because as music just brings everyone together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we mentioned the clarinet, Andrew. I've got to ask you a question. When you joined the bill, were they looking for a clarinet playing policeman, or did you bring it in and say, look,
no, I've got a clarinet? They were very specifically looking for a 26-year-old Scottish clarinet player. And I was at the time 26 and Scottish, well, Scottish-ish, and a clarinet player. So yeah, I fitted the bill.
I've recently this year rewatched your first few episodes a long time before I knew this was going to happen, because I was poorly just after Christmas and had a week in bed, which was fantastic, to be honest. So I watched the first four and three quarter years of the bill back to back.
Wow.
Yes. And then I bought Oliver's books
to
accompany it. And so I was sort of flicking through the books and things like that. So yeah, that was great. And
you had a big dive in there.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And
I do have all 26 years of it in my collection. So I will say I don't have children. So when I retire, I'll have no grandchildren to play with. I haven't got a greenhouse. So I'll just sit on the settee watching old programs from the 80s and 90s. That'll do, mate.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm reading Oliver Crocker's book, Witness Statements.
Yes. I hope he's going to bring some more out, because the two I've read so far were very, very informative.
His knowledge is encyclopedic. It's extraordinary.
Yes. And I think the aforementioned Robert is like that with his TV stuff as well. So I will be getting his Peak Practice book. It wasn't really a program that I overly watched religiously, but
yeah,
at the start when Kevin Whatley was in that, I watched it. But because he's Felix, I'm going to support him and buy his book. So
yeah, fair enough.
That's what we do. I think we better tell people where they can catch your podcast.
Well, on all good streaming platforms. They can check out information on letterfromhelvetica.com. That's letterfromhelvetica, all one word. Lots of info there. And then, yeah, if you look up Letter from Helvetica on any good streaming platform, podcast platform, you'll find us.
Yeah, it's Amazon, Apple, all of them.
Spotify, Deezer. Yeah, anything you can think of, we're there.
And those listening to the show on Felix O Radio, I'll add all the links to my social media, and then you should be able to click away and I'll do half the job for you, which is fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. You're very kind, sir.
I am, yes. Right, I think we'll talk about the bill, if that's all right. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes, if that's okay. Just a little chat about the bill.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Because that's what most people know you. But now I was having a quick look and I did have a chuckle. I don't know whether to believe Wikipedia or IMDb, because they do give different numbers. But just looking at the Wikipedia, it says that Alistair Gregg is the fifth most episodes of any sergeant in the bill. But I think we need to reassess that, because they've got June Ackland top, but she was a PC for a lot of years, wasn't she? So I think they've lumped all her episodes together. And they also done the same with Yvonne Hemingway. So I think you're probably going to jump up there, Andrew.
Yes. I think there should be a recount.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Natalie, you're sandwiched in between Tony Scannell and Billy Murray.
Cool. Ooh. There's a delight.
Thanks very much.
Yes. So I think, Natalie, Debbie came in just as Don Beach era had finished, when they had a wipeout of the CID, didn't they? You was one of the new intake when they sort of replaced 70% of the CID. Am I right there?
I was just before the big fire.
Oh, just before. Yeah.
So, I'd come in with Stephen Hartley and Raji and... I should really know this, shouldn't I? I'm really trying to get the grey brain cells working here.
Was that the Barry Grant? Not Barry Grant, Jamie, come on, he's Brookside. Was that the Des Kavanagh fire?
Yes.
Yes.
So it was before that. It was 2001, if I'm correct.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And
I
suppose some of these episodes are a little bit misleading as well, because Andrew's on for 9 years, but I suppose in the early days it was only one episode a week still, wasn't it? As time progressed, it went to two, maybe three.
I think when I started, it was two.
Was it? Yeah.
And it went to hour-longs for a
yes, it did. Yeah.
Time, and then it went to 3 half-hours. So yeah, I did every permutation going.
Now, which era of the bill did you prefer? The little half an hour sort of throwaway segments or the soapy stuff?
Well, I was never involved in the soapy stuff. I left before it kind of went down the soapy road. But I always thought during my era, it worked better when it was half an hour because it was short, punchy. You know, you've got to be really disciplined in the writing. I thought the hour longs all got a bit flabby.
That's a fair point.
They weren't as tight as the half hours. I think the bill was at its best as a half hour.
Yeah, that was Jeff McQueen's vision, wasn't it? Standalone episodes with the occasional arc.
Yeah, exactly.
But it still ran for 26. So what year did we finish? It was 2008, was it? No, later than that, wasn't it? It was 2012, I think. So it still went a lot of years after it went soapy.
Oh, yeah. It was really successful.
It was serial drama. Do you mind? Mm.
Sorry, serial drama. Yes, I get my metaphorical wrist slapped there. Yes, not a problem.
Serial drama. So not only were we having these lives, we're also cracking crime. That's the way I like to think of it.
That's great.
Yes, multitasking.
We were multitasking, having babies and all sorts of things.
Speak for yourself. I never had a baby.
And I think I have to go back. It was 2000 to 2004 that I was there, because there'll be other people listening going, it wasn't 2001, it was 2000. I remember, because I was the half hour ones were the ones that I was the visitor, so they were the half hour episodes.
Okay.
And I those, I remember just watching them forever. That was our, you know, midweek special. We were allowed to stay up and watch those.
And I don't know if my head is right, but sometimes my head tells me things that are not quite true, but I'm sure some ITV regions had a weekend omnibus as well.
Yeah, they did. I think it was Friday lunchtime, as I remember. Mm. Yeah, funny old time, but to have an omnibus, yeah.
Yeah, that was obviously and then when UK Gold and all that came in, it just seems like it's there all the time now, which is fantastic. And I get on some of the Bill groups on Facebook, and the people are just as obsessed now as they were when the programme was on. So it just shows the quality of it, really.
I don't think they don't show my era on any of the... They show it on the streaming channels, but not on the satellite channel.
No?
Yeah, because one of my daughters, they started showing it right from the beginning on, I can't remember what the channel is, and one of my daughters was getting very excited, and she was counting the days down to my first episode, and then they pulled it, the episode before my first one.
Oh, yes, there was uproar, wasn't there? There was uproar.
The uproar in my house. Nobody else cared.
Oh,
I just don't think they were getting the figures, to be honest.
That's a shame. Well, I watched them all, Andrew. I watched it. I've still got more to go. I shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm currently rewatching the first ever year of Home and Away at the moment. So once I get that out of the way, I'm going to go back to do some more of the Bill. So my little brother, my little they're 47 and 40. They're still my little brother and sister. You know, they love it as well. So I will just mention Rory and Tamara. Can you both say hello to Rory and Tamara for me? Because they'll love me forever if you do.
Hello, Rory and Tamara.
Hello, Tamara.
Excellent. Yeah, you don't want to say hello to Rory, Natalie, because he said Debbie McAllister was nasty.
I'm not nasty.
I think Debbie McAllister was a little bit misunderstood, to be honest.
She was. She was. And if she came back now, it might all be a bit clearer. But she was just, you know, she was misunderstood. And people loved her, but that's fine. I didn't
really watch the Bill in that era. So I hadn't seen Natalie play Deb until more recently. It's a fascinating character. Yeah, multi-layered.
Definitely.
Quite Machiavellian. A really interesting character, actually. I should have watched it at the time. But I'm enjoying watching it now.
Yes. we mentioned voiceover work. Now, John Iles, Mike Dashwood, he does a lot of voiceover work, doesn't he?
He does, yes. He's got a lovely voice, dear Johnny.
Yeah.
He does a lot of voice and he does narration. He does narration with a baritone. Is she a baritone clarinet player or a bass clarinet player? I'm forgive me, Sarah, if I've got it wrong. But yes, he does these really interesting story narrations. They've done the story of Pinocchio, the story of Dracula, I think.
Excellent.
A accompanied by this baritone or bass clarinet. It's really interesting stuff.
Oh, put me onto that. I have not heard of this. Sounds interesting.
Great. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Right, we're getting very, very close to the end. So I want to thank you both for coming on. It's been actually a privilege and a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been great.
No problem. And thank you to Oliver for putting me in touch, because I originally asked Oliver to come on my radio show, and he was going to, but then work and life gets in the way, so he hasn't done it yet. Then he messaged me on Twitter and said, would I do this for you two? And I thought, oh, yes, please.
Well, we're very grateful, and hopefully everyone will be tuning in to Letter from Helvetica.
Absolutely.
So hopefully I'll get it all ready so it goes out next Tuesday, but I'll email you both exactly when it's going to go on air. And if you can't listen to it live, I'll send you the link so you can catch up, and we'll share it around all around the Bill forums I'm on and all things like that.
Oh, fantastic.
And push it. So
brilliant. Much appreciated.
So, and should we send the audio tracks on, because it'll be quite a large file, should we send it on WeTransfer?
Yeah, WeTransfer is no problem whatsoever. I'm joined up on that. So that's fantastic. Right. We're about to run out. So if it does go off, I'm going to say goodbye, Natalie. Goodbye, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Bye. Thanks, Jimmy. Have a great holiday.
Thank you very much indeed.
Enjoy the journey.
I will go. I'll enjoy Letters from Helvetica, and I'll let you know what I think.
Excellent.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.